Okay. What are we doing here, Steve?
So this is the first part of this episode, and this is Fill in the Blanks, kind of an update from last month's Fill in the Blanks. This is an in-betweener, and what you've done, Jeff, is you show me that you went ahead and finished an RC1 of Tunnel Panic. So won't you tell me about that?
Is a game built in STOS with Missing Link, which is a overhaul of the graphic system for STOS, along with the STOS icon definer for a special font that I created, and I used the music definer for two different songs, one at the beginning that's okay, one that's repetitive during gameplay, and graphics were all designed in the STOS sprite designer, along with the Tunnel Panic logo you see right there was actually designed outside using GIMP. And then I used a program that allows me to dumb that down into 16 colors, brought it into Degas. And in Degas, I added the press fire button text, because if you try to make text outside and bring it in, it looks awful.
So I like your little vertical blank.
And then the vertical blank. What I did was, and this is my new thing, is I have 16 colors. I know you don't have 16. We'll have to make a 12-color palette if we make a game that's together. But I put
all 24 colors.
Okay. Oh, right.
So we have 20. What happens is it's two different palettes. It's eight palettes. So we have enough colors.
Okay. Don't worry about it. So what I did was I put every single color is actually in the color palette for this image for the game also. So I didn't have to mess around with the color palettes. Even though they're not all shown on this screen, they're all there. It makes it really easy in STOS to deal with color palettes.
Very cool. Okay, so let's try the game now.
Okay.
Here I go. Level one. I like your font in there. Ooh. Okay, it moves really smoothly. So tell me, okay.
So the goal of this entire project was to use Joeys, which are single color, single bit plane objects on the ST, and those to move horizontally. It's a fake horizontal scroll, right? It's just sprites moving at the moment. And to get it to run in 30 frames a second. I also wanted to have a particle pool for shooting out the back of your little ship. And I wanted vector style graphics, because that's what I'm looking for. It's for a plain ST game. I think I can make great fast ST games with vector graphics that don't require the blitter. Blitter would be good for multicolored graphics, and we'll get to those at some point too on different games. But that would require an
stock ST.
This is stock ST. Right.
So the resolution on the ST, what is it?
320 by 200.
And I think that's pretty much the same resolution as Mode B on the Atari 7800. So I think we have the ability, if we want to actually make the same game with the same graphics on both systems, which is something I don't think Atari ever did.
Nope, but we are.
When both systems were actually, you know, being sold.
No, they never did.
I don't think they ever did that.
They tried with Food Fight.
Wait a minute. What is, Food Fight. What's the Tower Toppler? Is that one?
Oh, look, you're dead.
Oh.
It didn't come out by Atari, though.
Oh, okay. But I think that would be something to really do is to try to make the same game together.
Yeah.
So tell me, what else about this game do you want to?
So the font down there, like I said, is designed with the icon designer, not a font designer. The icon designer in STOS is a set of 256 16x16 icons that could be a single color. Single color. I could make each one of the icons a different color if I wanted to.
Uh-huh.
But they're a single color each of dot has to be one color. Another great thing, because it worked great with the current way I'm doing the vector graphics and the palette, right? Everything's a single color. This game would also work in basically the same way on the Atari 8-bit, and it's high-resolution mode with some color added with sprites too, with player missile graphics. So I think there's a way to port this to the 8-bit in possibly Fast Basic or, you know, 6502 also. I'm sure there is. It's just, can I do
right,
it?
Right.
Anybody.
Well, this is really neat. Now, I also worked on a game in the last couple weeks. I was inspired by fill in the blanks and the response to balloon saw, which some people said that they
balloon saw kicks butt.
So I went ahead and tried to redo another one of the games from the book that I made called Flat Cannon. So I'd like to see if we can take a look at the YouTube video. I think we have YouTube video somewhere of the original Flat Cannon, and then I want to show you the game that I made.
Let's do that right now.
Awesome.
So Steve, what do we have here?
Okay, so right here is the game Flak Cannon, F-L-A-K, from the book Essential Guide to Flash Games. And this is one of the games it teaches you to make. And this is sort of a missile command-like game. So you shoot at these airplanes coming down, and you have to shoot flak, which explodes, and then it explodes to both the planes. You don't shoot directly at the planes, although that will kind of work. But yeah. But that's not the goal. So go ahead and play the video that shows what it was like. I think this is a slightly updated version.
That's okay.
Called Flat Cannon Plus, but that's all I could find.
It's still yours.
But it's still the same. Still, we're using the graphics are from
Ari.
Ari
Fleischman.
Ari Fleischman's graphics that he let us use for the book.
We paid him, and we gave him a copy of the book.
Yeah,
and he deserved a lot more money.
Yeah, he did. Anyway, that's that game. And so now let me show you the 7800 one I made. Okay, so this is the 7800 version, and you will notice that I think unlike Balloon Saw, where I guess you could tell the difference, but this you can actually tell the difference because Ari's graphics are amazing. So this really does look like a demake. So the idea here was to figure out how to make a missile command light game to be able to draw a point from one point to another point in a line without using floating point math, because the floating point math, you can have floating points on the 7800 and it's supposed to work, but I could not get the floating points to work. That's why this is just kind of a demo. I think I'm going to continue working on this as a fill in the blanks, but it's not an official fill in the blanks project. It's just going to be an outside project.
Well, I think everything is a fill in the blanks. This is filling in a blank.
Well, I mean, it's not one that we're working
it's
on
not
together.
A, it's an outside. It's not a competition or a collaboration.
It's an extra.
It's an extra because anything you do gets you more skills at making games
that's
on
right.
the platform.
So anyway, it says Alpha 02. It's probably the why don't you go ahead and play the video and you'll see. So that on the title screen, it shoots out the title, which is just a little parlor trick. And then it starts, and then here's the game. And notice there's a ship at the bottom. So I've decided that you've got a ship, and the ship has like a conning tower. It's got two buildings, and it's got three guns.
The
guns,
like the radar.
Yeah, the guns turn towards the gun sight, right?
Yeah.
And it shoots from whichever one is closest. I will say that it doesn't really matter which one it shoots from. It'll get to the place just as fast. At this point, it doesn't matter. But the idea here is that that there's going to be planes and submarines. So submarines in the water, which you will shoot depth charges at, and planes that come down. And the planes are actually going to come down not straight like this. So what you'll notice is like this is kind of. So this is a little bit like you notice. It's kind of like Balloon Saw, but reverse.
It is.
So the balloons are coming down. So I don't want that to be it. So the planes are going to come in and do loops and in formations to make it so when you shoot a shot, you can hit more than one at a time because you'll know where the flak will stay on the screen long enough that it can get more than one plane. And that's going to be the object of the game is time your shots correctly. Like I said, there will be some... I'm thinking about having some waves. The waves may calculate the boat moving a little bit. I'm not really sure yet. I'm going to obviously do the ship a little bit better. It's just... This is my placeholder. And then I want to have some submarines in there and some other stuff that
comes
down.
You know what? I think this would work really well with the Atari ST's mouse. So
it probably would work great with the ST's mouse.
So maybe this should be a collaboration also at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, mouse or joystick. The problem is some people... Couch play is tough.
So I'd say, like, we could do this one next, or but I think we have an idea for what to do next.
No, we're not going to do this yet.
Let's wait on this one. This is a good, fun thing for me to do while you are finish up your game. But what's your idea for the next one?
I want to make a Bosco pilot.
So like a game where the ship stays in the center.
Your ship stays in the center.
Like Bosconian or Time Pilot.
And you scroll around the screen 8 ways, so not asteroid scrolling, blowing up things that are there. I like the Bosconian way because a lot of things are more settled in tiles than the Bosconian world.
Yeah, Bosconian world does have a lot of...
It has some
Time Pilot is not really tiles. Time Pilot is, I believe, if you look at it, it's all sprites on the
it's
screen.
All sprites.
It's all sprites the way it moves. But it's very similar. If you want to try a tile-based...
It's really Bosconian with a little bit more Time Pilotness in it. Maybe the Time Pilot is the levels are more Time Pilot, but the game is more Bosconian.
Yeah. Okay, but it was going to use the vector graphics.
Vector graphics.
So maybe it's all asteroids or something, or
not,
you know,
asteroids. We'll see.
Geometric shapes, or
something else. We'll see how it works.
Cool. That sounds really fun. So that's for the next fill in the blanks.
The next fill in the blanks.
Hey, this is Jeff here. In this shorter length Atari Now, we cover Eric Carr's new platform engine for the Atari 8-bit, some updates to the Atari IP list, as well as Atari Studio acquisitions, plus why did BCB get his channel taken away, and more, coming up next.
All right, so what's this one, Jeff?
Okay, so this is Eric Carr. He has this thing called Atario. It
is that the guitarist for Kiss?
No.
Okay. Freely?
I don't think
okay,
so.
Okay, but it'd be awesome if it was. Imagine if the guitarist for Kiss that replaced Ace Frehley in like 1981 also was making a Super Mario Brothers for the 8-bit.
If Eric Carr is that wasn't Kiss, he can let us know.
Okay, be amazing.
Okay, so he made this in C for the Atari 8-bit using 12x12 tiles to in place of the 16x16 tiles that are used in Mario, and using
it
the pokey sounds. It is absolutely amazing. This
Let's
is on
a look at
this is in 48K on any Atari 8-bit. And this only got the first level here, but it is from a machine that was designed in 1977.
Right. But it's also a 6502 with a custom graphic chip, same as the NES.
Yes.
Wow. Oh,
Shiza. This won't fit very well as an audio podcast.
No, this might
be
an audio podcast. Yeah. It might just be an update. I mean, we can also the audio podcast. I kind of sped through these.
Yeah, we can just cut this.
Wow. So that, I mean, in all intents and purposes, that's Super Mario Brothers.
That's Super Mario Brothers for the Atari 8-bit.
Yeah.
And then we'll read
I'm
a little.
Sure, Nintendo's gonna love it.
He's showing it as a there's a lot more of it too, by the way.
Wow.
It's on for a while. We'll put a link to it there. But what I wanted to do was read a little bit about what Eric Carr had to say about it. And here it is. It says, here is a collection of some level runs showing the latest updates. Sorry, no fancy edits. Good. Fancy edits, we've learned, don't help with video views. To my platform engine for the Atari 48K Plus, written in C, CC65. This is shown running in PAL, but it supports both PAL and NTSC without noticeable slowdowns. This shows new objects like platforms, hopping, flying enemies, and a swimming level, which we didn't show. It's still a work in progress, so some visual glitches can be seen in the video. With the exception of the player, the graphics were not a direct rip of Super Mario Brothers. The sprites are original 12x12 assets made to look like the original 16x16 sprites. The music was composed to fit the 4-voice octave range of the Atari.
Now, I didn't hear the music because the sound was off here. What does it sound like?
Oh, you didn't hear it?
No.
You're right. It sounds amazing.
Okay.
You'll get awesome. To hear it. You'll get I'm sorry.
So that's fantastic. I love this. It kind of, it doesn't look like the guy from Kiss.
No.
This picture doesn't. But that's okay. There can be multiple Eric Carrs. But what if it was? Okay, so look. This is Atari's IP list on their website. This is to go with the last video I did about complaining about Atari Arcade 1 right. and 2 as an update. On the IP list, you can notice that they have the list of all games that they have from Stern Electronics. One of them is Armored Car and Atomic Castle, which were not on the Arcade 1-Up thing. But notice they are identified as Stern Electronics.
On here, right.
So why are they identified as Stern Electronics on here, and they edited that name out on the games? Makes no sense to me, unless...
On the cartridges?
On the cartridge, yeah.
The cartridges the ROMs
have Atari's name edited in, and I just wish they kept Stern, and then, maybe they even said, at the bottom, 2026 Atari, but kept Stern in there for the preservation.
Right.
That's it. That's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, I hope to see the rest of these games, though, because actually those Stern games were really good. Some other news, Atari has acquired another game company that does conversions of emulated games. Or converts games. So these are supposedly 32-bit games. The firms are working with Atari over the past year on Mortal Kombat, Legacy, Rayman, and other unannounced titles, and now they have acquired them to go with Digital Eclipse and with Night Dive to do more of their sort of game preservation, restorations, remasters of games, which seems cool. But also, these are not going to be any classic Atari licensed games. These are going to be other games that maybe Infogrames owned, or they're going to license other things or buy other things, and they're going to help them. They're help them, get them out to modern platforms. It's a good strategy.
Two things. There's a person porting Mortal Kombat to the Jaguar right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's cool.
Rayman is a Jaguar title. Just so I know that that's not what this means, but. When you said 32-bit, that's great because the two chips in the Jaguar were both 32-bit, and it did have a 64-bit pipeline. So it was 64-bit in a sense, but 32-bit games were being made for the Atari Jaguar.
Right.
And so hopefully that means more.
Maybe this is something they're working for the Jaguar. That would be cool. My guess is it's not. My guess is it's PlayStation games or games that were for the PlayStation era, Saturn era, maybe even Dreamcast era. Maybe even Nintendo 64. I don't know. Maybe not. But that era of games, maybe 3DO. Who knows? That era of games being remastered and put on stuff. That sort of 1993 to 1997 or whatever that era. That kind of like late 90s.
1993 to 2000 or whatever, something like that.
Which is interesting. Yeah. Okay, so something that happened yesterday, which is very strange, is Brian Boulding, Ballistic Coffee Boy, who we have, he did some very nice stuff about our podcast and stuff. He has been running an Atari channel for a very long time on YouTube, and apparently YouTube just deleted it yesterday.
Yeah, they just took it down.
I see he had something like 1,800 videos.
Yeah, too many to just delete. I'm not
too
sure
many,
what happened.
It seems like a very strange incident, someone was targeting him or something, but he has a video called BCB is Canceled. Why don't we just watch a little bit of it? This is now on Rumble. So Brian moved to Rumble, where I guess anything goes. Not that he needed to do that. He didn't do anything weird.
I'm not 100% certain what goes on Rumble, but I know that Brian can go on Rumble. Let me see if we can...
Welcome to Atari Theater Time with your host, Ballistic Coffee Boy.
Hi there, BCB here. So many of you watching and listening, well, mostly watching, might know this morning, earlier today, on Friday, it's April 24th, My YouTube channel was deleted by YouTube. And they gave me no option to save anything. They didn't tell me any information other than someone or some folks reported me for scamming them. And I have no idea what they're talking about, honestly. And when I first saw this last night at like 11:36 p.m., I was getting ready to edit a video for next week because I was all caught up for this week. In fact, Friday night, as of this recording tonight, on Friday, April 24th, I was supposed to air an episode of That Atari Show featuring Funkmaster V, Vinny Vineyard, from the Atari Network. And I put like 10 hours of work into that, and I was excited about it, and I think it's one of the best episodes I put together. And so that's all gone now. So, and yes, I'm extremely gutted. I'm extremely upset. I haven't cried about it, but close. I am just ruminating about it hardcore because, guys, I spent 6 years creating this channel. I spent 6 years of my life looking forward to coming home every day, creating content, watching other Atari content, gaming content, and supporting friends. And the community that we've created with my channel the past 6 years has been amazing. And
so here's a weird thing.
So what the F?
I mean, it's crazy that we couldn't get the sound. How do we get the sound to work on my phone to show? But it's sort of crazy. Like, is someone targeting Brian? It's really, this really, really, whoever would do something like that is pretty shitty.
Yeah, Brian.
If it's true.
He's like the nicest dude there is.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy that someone would do that and YouTube would just take them down, like delete the channel. It makes no sense.
It does make
Brian sense. Said later that he finally got to talk to someone and the decision was to take it all down, and it's very weird.
Why? Like, what did you do? Yeah. No, I don't. I mean, I'm not asking him. What I mean is, what did he do? Like, yeah. Why would you do that?
It's really, really distressing because
could happen to anyone anytime.
And he seems like a good guy, and Brian's and he does content all the time. He's bringing everyone that had anything to do with Atari on and interviewing them, and just for the fun of it. And I just don't understand. But I guess we'll maybe find out.
One of the reasons I didn't want to do Atari Now is Brian was covering it all.
Right. Right. One of the reasons we stopped Atari Now was because Brian was doing the Atari News every day.
He basically did Atari Now.
There's no reason to do it. We're like, hey, just watch Brian's stuff. It doesn't mean we're bringing Atari Now back full-time or anything.
Not full-time. We're going to do it every once in a while for things like this.
Right. Things just like this. Like Atari Now, because Brian can't give us news on YouTube that his channel went down, which is just crazy.
It's just effing crazy.
So anyway, maybe in the coming days, hopefully, I hope he gets restored. It just seems very strange.
Now, I was trying to run Rumble. By the way, I'm running this Rumble in Chrome on Linux. There might be some sort of a compatibility problem or something. So, you know, be aware. Rumble works perfectly on my Roku TV.
Okay.
So it's not.
Go watch Brian on your Roku TV.
And it worked perfectly on your phone. So right. It's not. It's just my setup here.
Anyway, well, I guess that's some Atari news. It's Atari Now. Let's
move on to something next, which is recent pickups and cool stuff.
That's right. Recent pickups and cool stuff. Let's do that.
Okay. First, this is what I got from Jason Moore, Atari 8-bit extraordinaire. He sold me Atari 1050 disk drive that he refurbished with a power cord, and I cannot wait to get home and plug this in because I've been wanting to play my disk of abuse. My dumbass software for about a year now on disk, and I want to get it up and run. Abuse is like a fake chat bot where you say funny stuff to it. I think I did a video about it last year. So that's that. And then in the mail, so things I bought. I'm starting to limit the things that I buy, and I'm buying stuff really only that I really have wanted for a long time. And here is the first one. This is a copy of Electronic Games from September 1984. This is not a random copy of Electronic Games magazine. This, to me, is the last great video game magazine issue of the Golden Age. This is has an article about Atari and Lucasfilm. So there's got Ball Blazer, Rescue and Fractalus, and all about their partnership. And then it also has the preview of the Atari 7800.
Oh, wow.
And it and so and it's in it's a very nice condition. I'm super happy about this. You know, I was like, oh, I'll do an episode where page with the magazine. Nobody gives a f- that. But that's the magazine I got. Okay, I also, something I've never had before, a brand mint new copy of Duray Atari, partially written by Chris Crawford. But this is to assist when fill in the blanks goes 8-bit.
Goes 8-bit, exactly.
What's that?
What is that?
Open this up. It is an Atari 8-bit cartridge. And what is it? The Last Starfighter. So this is a, what do we call a...
Repro?
Repro of the game The Last Starfighter. Now, this, I don't think this ever came out. We played this on our 8-bit, downloaded from EBS at the time, and it became the first Star Raiders 2.
Great.
But Last Starfighter was I loved it. It's a fun game. Another one that I got, which I don't remember anything about this game. I do not remember a thing. This is Superman 3.
Superman 3.
I don't remember a thing about Superman 3. Maybe we had it. I don't think we had, but that's also a repro cartridge of Superman 3. And then last but not least, and I'm going to give you one of these because it's very important that you have one. I can get this open.
They're very, very... Why don't you put it down here and show us open it.
Here. Crack the seal!
Crack the seal! And then watch the all the people just click off.
I know.
Leave off the video. Oh, crack the seal.
Yeah, I think people like
hey, put, like... Hey, nerdlingers.
They had it so, like, if we said the word crack the seal, they would downvote our videos.
Yeah.
In here are a pack of four original DOS 2.5 Atari branded discs, and that's to so I can when I start programming on my Atari 800 on the 1050 disk drive, I can save my whatever I'm making on an original 5 1/4 disk if it actually works, which I think it does. And that's what I got.
Wow.
So
ooh, what's this, Jeff?
The great Jason Moore. When I went to pick up your disk drive from him, he gave me, donated to the podcast, 2 Atari ST monitors. This is the SM125. We had one of these.
This box gives me so many feels.
Pulling this out of the back of Art's car when we went to Computer Games Plus.
Yeah.
He pulled one of these boxes out for when we bought our Atari ST. I'm going to say it was 40 years ago, almost.
Something like that.
It was 1997, so it wasn't quite 40 years ago. 39 years ago, out of the back of a trunk in Orange, California.
This here.
Same place where they have the vintage computer VCF.
Yep, right down the street.
Yeah.
This is the Atari, and this is the monochrome monitor. SM125.
And I think this one, I think Jason said this is actually amber, not
amber.
So my plan is eventually for space-wise, I got to have both an Atari 8-bit with my disk drive and my SIO2 to SD setup and my Atari ST or my STE, whichever one I get working, someplace permanently so I can use them. And the ST is going to have 2 monitors. This one... And it's going to have the color monitor. I have one right up there.
Oh, yes, there it is, the color
monitor. And Jason gave me another color monitor, so I'm going to go get that one right now.
Awesome.
So we can see if it's the same.
Okay, so what's this, Jeff?
This is the other monitor that Jason gave me. This is the SC1224, similar to the one you kind of showed in the closet up there,
right,
but completely different, yeah. Newer, better version, works crystal clear, works better. And it has the Mega ST sort of styling on it.
Mega ST monitor. Wow, that's awesome. So, you know, getting, you know, one of the things that is difficult that we've had a problem with is getting our STs to work.
Yeah, STs are always having a problem.
Yeah, but this is cool. So these are great pickups, I think.
Yeah,
fantastic.
We were children of the Silicon Revolution, an X generation conscripted to fight the console and home computer wars. A product of an analog 70s childhood, we came of digital age in the 80s, believing we could affect the world 8 bits at a time. Armed with joysticks, full stroke keyboards, Jolt Cola, and MTV haircuts, we proceeded into the vertical blank. There, we stayed up late at night, devising incantations from D&D rulebooks and beginner's all-purpose symbolic instruction code. Video games were the match, and programming was the fuse, as the infinite possibilities of the digital world exploded into the internet age to come. We are Generation Atari.
Into the vertical blank.